News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What is up, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Good to have you along. And, you know, part of what you do on Super Bowl Monday is talk about the Super Bowl and also talk about, you know, the shared experience we all had by watching the halftime show, kind of like ranking the ads, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I have found that, and I missed it last night, I guess one ad, finally they did a use this ad time to go to the bathroom. Really nice of, can't remember what company it was, but I saw some folks talking about that. See,
Wait, what happened now?
I think, was it Manscaped or somebody ran an ad that just said, use this 30 seconds to go to the bathroom. If I was reading the online tea leaves correctly last night. And I say that because I'm trying to keep up. I love the Super Bowl. Have loved it every year of my life. Just like many other Americans. And I know that we're about to see on the text line, why do you care? It's just sports. There's a lot more important things going on in the world. I'll get to what Trump's argument against that here in just a minute. But it, for me, is just a lovely day, whether it's the buildup all the way to it and hearing about the players and personal stories and, you know, the things that get them to where they are, like a few years ago when the Eagles were wearing that dog mask everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just really cool things, and it all kind of boils down to this one big game. And then, of course, you have the advertisements. You had Trump in town. You had this in New Orleans just over a month after a horrific terrorist attack on New Year's Day. And it was a big moment. And, you know, first off, it seems that security was great. I haven't heard much at all about, except for maybe a halftime performer doing an unannounced protest, even though the show itself was a protest on its own, unfurling the Palestine flag. I don't know if you saw that. They detained that person. One of the dancers, I think, pulled out
I didn't see that.
Palestine flag, and was detained.
I was cleaning the kitchen. I told you that.
That's right. I forgot. You weren't watching the halftime show. So I thought, and we kind of batted this theory around a little bit, about some of these ads, and there were a lot more pro-America. I love the Bud Light ads. They're new. Real Men of the Cul-de-Sac with Shane Gillis, Post Malone, and Peyton Manning. And they're climbing out of that woke hole that they dug a few years ago and kind of writing the book on how to do that, although not a lot of people have jumped back on the Bud Light train.
I think they picked the right guy in Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the dude of the cul-de-sac.
And Peyton Manning. How many beers does that bad boy hold? Talking about the trailer cooler on the...
Yeah, it was funny.
And so that was good, but I thought it was an interesting mix because, you know, they start planning so far ahead for the Super Bowl. And a lot of this went into effect before the election, obviously, November.
It looked like.
And so think of if you're one of these, you know, marketing agencies that's been tasked and you have the company telling you what kind of vibe they want to go with, it's a tough moment to meet, especially when you're trying to plan 3, 4, 5 months ahead and you don't know what the national temperature is going to be of the culture and who is even going to be president. So I thought we saw a mix of ads and that halftime performance that would have been right at home in Kamala's America, right?
Or 3 years ago.
And I say that as someone who I was a big fan of Kendrick Lamar, especially early on. To Pimp a Butterfly, Good Kid, Mad City. He is a... agree with his politics.
Yeah, but he's got a poetic kind of streak to him where...
Which, for the Super Bowl, I mean, a lyricist at the Super Bowl, and then when you... the track, he's much lower than all the music going on around him, so you can't even hear what he's saying. They may have done that intentionally to try to keep some of the politics out of it, but you got to get, you know, somebody with hits that everyone knows and some pop going on up there. I know some people would disagree with me, but that did not... to use your big moment, right, and... to use it to go after another rapper.
Well, I think that,
and call,
that,
I mean, that song that they played is all about calling another rapper a pedophile.
Well,
Drake.
What percentage of America knew that? I didn't. Of course, I was
cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah, cleaning the kitchen.
And I had explained that whole rap beef to you last night and everything over text. And then to have Serena Williams crip walking, doing the gang dance, doing the crip walk out there. Celebrating gang culture. I don't know. It just didn't wrong place, wrong time, I think. And I didn't really appreciate it at all. Thought they could have done it much better. On the other side, the beginning of the game leading in with the Fox crew and then all of the first responders in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They brought Sean Payton out because
I saw that.
Such a crucial part to the culture in New Orleans. And to walk down Bourbon Street where that terrorist attack happened, go right into Lady Gaga, who did a beautiful performance, I think. That was great. I'm so glad they didn't leave that whole thing out. You know, the NCAA really botched their response, and they didn't have much time to plan the next night.
They were terrible. Well, it was also the president of
Allstate
Sugar Bowl. Yeah. I mean, his response was awful.
So, and Trump, I think a major reason, of course, he wants to be on TV, right? He wants to be there. He loves big games. But a lot of that was to show the city of New Orleans that he knows and he cares, I mm-hmm. think. And so going from Gaga into, was it Trombone Shorty? Who did God Bless America?
Yeah.
Great.
And Daigle, the gospel singer from Louisiana as well.
And you had Southern University doing a second line kind of thing out mm-hmm. there. I believe the leader of Southern U, I don't know what his official title is in the band, but he's from Pritchard, so that's a little hometown for you.
Wow.
And then John Batiste doing the national anthem on the piano started slow. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but built to a really nice crescendo. Mm-hmm. And then when they showed Trump on the screen, that crowd went wild.
I mean, what's that tell you? I mean, where's the, that, these are, the Super Bowl is, there's fans there for sure. You could hear the Philly fans. It's not a corporate too. You know, you have a lot of people who are being awarded and mm-hmm. rewarded by their job to, you know, hey, here's incentive, top salesman, Super Bowl tickets and that kind of thing, or manager or a CEO that is high on the company list in terms of how he's performing, Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah, like Jeff Poor.
We'll have to ask him what his impression was of the whole thing.
So, and part of Jeff's, you know, conversation, he's had this several times, we have as well, but Friday they were talking about it a lot on his show, is why do sports, in particular football, matter to a culture? Why is football so important to the state of Alabama and to the country? And I thought, you know, Trump put out a statement before the Super Bowl, and he really boiled it down, and I have to say I agree with this. He said, so he just starts off with the normal platitudes. I congratulate both teams as they compete tonight. Coaches, players, and staff represent the best of the best. They embody the best of the American dream. Their hard work, dedication, and tenacity is admirable, and their individual journeys are inspiring as the drive and determination that's led them to this extraordinary moment. They also represent the hopes and dreams of our nation's young athletes as we restore safety and fairness in sports and equal opportunities among their teams. Now, this is the part, as we're talking about this, why does it matter? Why does football matter? He writes, football is America's most popular sport for good reason. It fosters a sense of national unity, bringing families, friends, and fans together and strengthening communities. This annual tradition transcends our differences and personifies our shared patriotic values of family, faith, and freedom, heroically defended by our military service members, law enforcement officers, and first responders. We value their devotion to protecting our great nation and salute their selfless service. I think that's a pretty good description of why and how football represents the American spirit.
Yeah, football matters, and certainly college football more than pro football in a state like Alabama. For sure. And I think Alabama fans know a little bit about this. The Chiefs probably felt, I think they had fewer fans there. I mean, they've been down this road before.
Yeah, they're all out of money. They've gone to too many Super Bowls.
Yeah, and so Alabama, they know what it's like. Even Georgia, in a smaller degree, you start to feel the heat against you. Like, yeah, okay, we're over Alabama. And the last couple of years, well, Georgia got beat. That's good. So I think people were kind of pulling for the Eagles. That might not be the case next time in or whatever. But that defense was absolutely stifling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think midway through the third quarter, Kansas City might have had like 40 total yards. I mean, think about that. That's Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and they were no match mm-hmm. for the Eagles' defense.
And they looked old and slow on that offense, and they've played a lot of football over the last 7 years.
That's a good point, too.
They've been to a lot of big games.
That offensive line just looked like they had no clue.
And, you know, that was a rematch 2 years ago. Yeah. It's tough to beat a team when you're in a rematch, especially on that stage.
38-35 2 years ago.
Go ahead.
Here's what I'm. You're talking about the entertainment. When do you think the last time is that it was a country
artist
halftime show?
Okay, that's good. I am thinking the last country artist they had was probably Carrie Underwood in some form or fashion. Am I right?
No, you're not right. The last country Super Bowl halftime show was in 19...
It starts with a 19?
Yeah, yeah.
No way. See.
Last country halftime show in the history of the Super Bowl was Super Bowl 28, 1994. A guy that just played here, Clint Black.
No way.
Tanya Tucker, Travis Tritt, and the Judds.
That cannot be the last time a country artist was up there.
There was a primary country music halftime show.
Wow.
It was 31 years ago.
That's crazy.
And you wouldn't think of it that way.
And I think that a big part of that, and Fire Dog says, someone else had a good take on this regarding Jay-Z. I'll get to that. But, you know, Apple Music sponsors that. So Apple Music picked the halftime performer. And I think that's probably going to be the standard going forward, is they're just going to pick whoever gets them the clicks on the streams, right?
Yeah.
And they were also trying to do, I think it was political completely, having Kendrick Lamar do that. And Jay-Z, like one texter I'll get to in a minute, he played a major part in having Kendrick Lamar up there. But, Fire Dog says, the frozen Red Bull commercial got a chuckle out of me. I hate to be the get-off-my-lawn guy. I remember Super Bowl commercials being amusing or at least on point. Lamar was awful. Get Weird Al. I don't know if Weird Al would have been great. Or maybe just a hologram Whitney Houston, someone with talent. Said, first Super Bowl I've seen in years, probably another 7 or 8 before I bother with it again. Billy D said, hey, Jay-Z is the one who was responsible for the halftime show. He's the one that pushed all of what you saw last night. Michael said, the only part of the halftime we liked was the beautiful Buick Grand National that was on the stage. And the best show from recent memory to me was the Prince one. That was great. That Buick Grand National, by the way, Lamar has one of like 567. There were only 567 of that model made. They did not use that one up there on stage. I think they made it look like it. Let's see. The Doritos ad and the Dodge Ram ad are at the top of my list. That's from Texter here. Tripp says, great analysis of the ads. Yeah, I think there were people that planned way ahead. And they didn't know what America they were going to be making these ads for.
I don't get that. I don't get that. The election was almost three months ago. I mean, it's going to be the biggest stage that you pretty much ever advertise your product or service, and you don't feel where the country is going.
Mm.
That's unforgivable.
Well, you know, the musician's going to musician.
Yeah.
So he wasn't going to change what he was going to do. But I'm talking more about the ads, how much time, and most of those weren't really woke, but there were some. This texter, I'm not sure I like this, the version of America, the beautiful being a pop song, and also didn't really care for the national anthem as well. Let's keep these texts going. 251-343-0106. Also, a lot of talk about Doge over the weekend and where the cost cutters are heading next.
Yeah. Some people are losing their minds over all this. You know, I know why, but it's ridiculous. My favorite part of the halftime was getting that grease stain off my stovetop with Formula 409.
It looked great, man.
I just sent a picture to Dalton. It is 19 after 8 o'clock on FM Talk. Dana Bash, not nearly, I didn't think, of as hostile toward Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday. I don't know, maybe it was a woman thing, but they got a little, I wouldn't say it was a dust up, but Dana Bash, she doesn't mind interrupting you when you're trying to make your point. She does that a lot. Have you noticed that?
I have.
Anyway, when she was talking to Noem about who's in Guantanamo, like you say, it's the worst of the worst, but is it? And here's Noem.
These individuals are the worst of the worst that we pulled off of our streets.
Who are they?
Murderers, rapists. When I was there, I was able to watch one of the flights landing and them unload about 15 different of these criminals. Those were mainly child pedophiles, those that were out there trafficking children, trafficking drugs, and were pulled off of our streets and put at this facility.
Yeah, when she wasn't being rudely interrupted time and time again, Noem also talked about the lack of action from the Biden administration.
You know, what's interesting to me is the previous administration knew who these people were that were committing these crimes. They knew where these folks that had final removal orders were in our country, could have negotiated agreements with these other countries to take them back home, and didn't. And we saw countries like Venezuela release their prisons and their
Are you comfortable that you're going to be able to not keep them there indefinitely?
I'm super thrilled that Secretary of State Rubio has been actively going out, negotiating, taking people home. So that's part of all the decisions on when we identify people in communities, as soon as we're able to go get them and return them back home as quickly as possible. So my goal is that people are not in these facilities for weeks and months. My goal is that there's a short-term stay. They're able to go incarcerate them, take them, follow the process, and get them back to their country.
I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, Dan Abad's very, very concerned about the worst of the worst and how they're being treated.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new.
And finally, she was talking about Elon Musk having personal, private information as they look at the Department of the Treasury. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
And so here we go with that.
Absolutely.
I remember a time when Republicans were very careful about and worried about the government, particularly unelected people.
Well, we can't trust the government anymore.
Having access to personal data.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You are the government.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that the American people now are saying that we have had our personal information shared and out there in the
public. But now Elon Musk has access to it.
Yeah, but Elon Musk is part of the administration that is helping us identify where we can find savings and what we can do. And he has gone through the processes to make sure that he has the authority.
You're totally
the president has granted him. I am today by the work that he is doing by identifying waste, fraud, and abuse. And his information that he has is looking at programs, not focusing on personal data and information.
Not focusing on it, but he has access to it.
We'll be continuing to talk to him about what all he has access to. But this audit needs to happen to make sure that we are going through a process that adds integrity back into these programs. And people's personal information has been out there in these caseworks that have been closed for a long time, that people are getting responses now that they haven't had before.
Dan Abad's very concerned that Elon Musk wants to steal all of our money, because the one thing Elon Musk has not been able to accumulate in his lifetime is lots of money.
Listen, I'm excited about the entire Doge thing and the cuts, and I think it was genius to start with the U.S. Agency for International Development.
Because turned out they were like the midfield at fraud. They were the,
right.
They were the headliners.
And then you have this big conversation, even, a lot of Republicans saying, well, yeah, we know that maybe not all that USAID stuff was up to snuff, but what you don't understand is this is about soft power, and this is about the CIA and being able to hold certain things over countries to do things the way they want. And it is kind of frightening. I mean, you and I were both talking about an interview with Mike Benz, who's been digging into this stuff for years.
Yeah,
Tucker Carlson.
Right. He says, I'm not taking any bows here. I'm concerned with it all.
And he says there needs to be a balance, right? You have to still have your fingers, around the world.
Yeah.
But the problem is they've gone so far above and beyond anything that Americans want. And if you want to argue that, soft power is an important thing, and that holding transgender dance classes or giving Iraq Sesame Street to the tune of $20 million is crucial to keep American power over certain parts of the world, that's fine. But you also have to acknowledge that a lot of your revolutions that you fomented without the say of the American people have resulted in massive losses of life and not great things for the American people, maybe benefited some Americans, but not the Americans as a whole. Just look at Ukraine and what started in 2014, in many ways under the auspices of USAID, and look how many hundreds of thousands of people have died since then.
I mean, you are, and with the soft power, I'm not saying it's not necessary, but I would say that you, like anything else, you want to pick and choose what you're doing and how you do it. But man, you're so correct that a lot of this has kind of gone off the rails, and in these transgender dance things, we're finding out, like, there's one going on, there's a bunch going on right now in one area. It's to disrupt the culture and to get people fighting and make elections less predictable, I guess.
More on this later. We're going to talk with Jennifer McCrary. Grateful for Grand Families coming up.
From Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:35. Very glad to have you along. A little overcast this morning after a record-breaking weekend. Both days broke three in a row, was it? Three of 4 days we had record temperatures.
Hit 82 yesterday.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was watching it. Like, I knew the tip was up there, so I was waiting for that record to fall.
So your attention was on the Super Bowl plus
the temperature gauge.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a boring day. Overall, that was more exciting watching the temperature gauge rise than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. Super Bowl was kind of a flop.
We are so glad to bring in a guest this hour, Jennifer McCrary, to talk about something that I've never really even thought about. And so this organization that you have, Grateful for Grand Families with the Baldwin County Public Schools, we're going to talk about that this morning in a meeting we have coming up and some of the issues you've uncovered these last few years about how many children are being raised by grandparents, great-grandparents, or other relatives. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good morning, Dan. Good morning,
Dalton. Good morning. You know, you think about this, and like Dalton said, well, you don't give it much thought, you know, that a grandparent and possibly you run into situations with great-grandparents are raising children that are not theirs, and they are raising children, and what comes along with all that is all of the things, the paperwork, I guess you could say, and
getting
and
them beyond. To and from.
Yeah, schoolwork.
Right.
And that's not, in that stage of life, you don't think of that. Maybe a grandparent will pick up a kid from school or something like that, but everything being thrown at them that a parent would normally deal with, and you found that can be kind of overwhelming for a lot of them. So you've put together an organization to help answer some of those questions they may have.
I have, and I've had some great volunteers that have stepped up. Mr. Tyler was wholeheartedly behind it once he kind of understood what I wanted to do. But it's a big deal to me. You know, every one child in foster care in the state of Alabama, there's 85 living with a grand family. So grand family's aunt, uncle, grandparent, great-grandparent, blood relative, or even a close friend that will take this child in. And you've got to think, these kids are going through usually being dropped off for a weekend to mm-hmm. stay with them, and the parents never show back up.
Man.
So not only is it hard in that way, but it's hard because most of the time these grandkids and grandparents, that's their children. You know, they a lot of times do not go to court to sever the rights of their parents because they're, like I said, they're their own children or grandchildren.
Yes.
And who wants to do that to their children? Mm-hmm. So they don't have any funding. So we can do a small part with Baldwin County Public Schools to bridge the gap, to help them with information. This Thursday, what we're doing is we're going to do Power School. That's our attendance, grades, every way they can keep up with their child that's in the school system. And also My School Bucks. That's how we take fees. If they don't understand the fees, we can explain them. If they want to pay the fees, we can do it that night. Just kind of an introductory, hey, what can we do to help you type of situation.
Jennifer, what you've done here is so crucial, not just because of this particular cause you've taken up, but for someone to go out and find that there's a problem out there. And then say, I'm going to try to help fix that problem. How did you start to figure out how many grandparents are taking care of kids? And this is Baldwin County Public Schools working with right here. How did you find out this was an issue? And what drove you to get started to try to find a solution?
So I'm a utility bookkeeper for Baldwin County Public Schools. I started in the schools as a clerk, actually as a sub, moved my way up. Utility bookkeepers, there's three of us, and we rotate through the school system. We have 47 schools, so we're privy to meet a lot more people than
most.
So
you travel a lot. You go to and that's 100 miles up and down in that county. That's
at
a lot
least.
Of square. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had 1 week last spring that I was at four different schools in 4 days. Mm-hmm. And the first day at one particular school, I met a great-grandmother raising four elementary-age great-grandkids.
Wow.
And it just really struck me. She was the sweetest lady. You know, she was paying for field day. She wanted some information about truancy. You know, truancy is when you've missed too many days. Well, that generation, they didn't worry about days back then. You know, that was a generation that reason why we go to school at the time we do, so they could go home and help on the farm and different mm-hmm. things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So they don't understand that eventually you're going to be in a truancy court because you missed too many days. So the next day at a different elementary school, a grandmother. The next day at a high school, a grandmother raising a grandson in high school and a granddaughter in middle school. Wanted to get him on the football team, needed to pay his fees, needed to order his gear for football. Luckily, that school, I knew where to find it, you know. So it just made me realize that we need to do this, you know. So I dug into it. Like I told you guys, God likes to nudge me in certain ways, and mm-hmm. he almost pushed me down. So I dug into it, saw the national numbers. You know, the national numbers for 167,000 kids in foster care, 2.7 million with grand families.
Oh.
It's huge. You know, the federal funding is there a little bit. State by state, it's different how much you get and what rights you have. In the state of Alabama, you get a power of attorney, so you can put them in school. They can have medical procedures, but they can't have surgeries. So they're very limited, but they're also with these grandparents that are getting Social Security, that are living a very tight budget. So Baldwin County Public Schools, can we fix all of that? No, we can't. but we can help put them in touch with the people that maybe can help with homework, help with paying fees, you know, the things we can control and say, hey, let me put you in touch with somebody. That's my goal.
So were these things already available to grand families, or did you establish a helpline or somebody that people can go to? Or were these already available? Now we're introducing it to the grandmother, grandfather that weren't aware.
We have resources at all of our schools. You know, on the high school level, you have a social worker. At every school, we have guidance counselors. We have registrars. But we're a huge school system.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can't remember the numbers right now, if I had to be honest with you. I think we're in the 40,000s of children, you know, around 4,000 employees. So on the school level, can they do it all? They can't. You know, my son goes to Daphne High School. There's almost 2,000 kids at that school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic school. But, you know, do you have time every day to stop and help every single person? You really don't. And so in doing that, it made me remember that, you know, if we did this once a month, every 6 weeks, you know, this summer we're going to do a reach out to where we help them get registered. You know, registration with all school systems pretty much nowadays is online. A lot of these people don't have a computer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They don't know how to work it. So that's an outreach we'll do this summer as well, is to have a place they can come and we'll sit and help them register their child, you know?
I have more to ask you, but let's push that meeting again. So what do you have coming up this week?
This coming Thursday, February 13th, 6 to 8 p.m., it's at COS Loxley, which is our central office satellite, 1091 B Avenue. And my number is 251-680-6903 if they want to ask any questions or get any information.
I bet at that meeting you're going to have so many people who are about to ask you a question, but the guy over here already asked it. It's like they're probably got so many of the same issues that they're concerned with. And it could be social, or it could be computers, or it could be whatever. A lot of these grandparents, uncles, aunts, and older individuals who are raising these kids within the school system probably have got, by and large, many of the same concerns.
I think so, too. You know, I have three sons. I've got two in college. Like I said, one that's a senior, and I have concerns. There's times I have to reach out and get help. And so, like you said, if they can have a one-stop shop to where we're like, hey, we know where you can get this information.
Yep.
We know you can help with this. DHR's reached out to me. They'll be there on Thursday night because they have a kinship program. But that's what I would like to do. You know, have the ability, the ones that are techie, that they've got a QR code that they can scan and say, oh, that's where Jennifer said I could find that information. If they're not techie, hey, let me run by and pick this up from Jennifer.
Yeah.
That's my goal. You know, and the kids on the other side of that, I want the students to know that just because their life may be a little different than it was a week ago, that they can still go to college, get a scholarship, go to Baldwin Prep Academy, which is our new trade school.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge investment our school system has made, and it's phenomenal. But a lot of times when you've moved homes and are in a little bit of chaos, you don't realize that you can still do all the things you dream of.
Yeah, they just need a little assistance getting there.
They do, and we want to be that. We want to bridge that gap and make their dreams come true. Make my dreams come true. This is a big thing on my heart, that I really want to see make a difference in one person's life. If I just do one person, I will have won.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, helping the grand. We're talking with Jennifer McCrary about Grateful for Grand Families. It's currently a Baldwin County Public Schools kind of organization you put together to help these primary caregivers who aren't just your normal, you know, parents, grandparents, whoever it may be, family that helps out. I could see this moving into other counties and statewide and stuff like that. But as a guy raising two kids with my wife, who she does the bulk of the work, I think her parents and my parents both went, oh, Dalton's going to need a lot of help. So they both moved close, which I'm so fortunate. You know, we have one that her parents are right down the road from us, literally. And then my parents just across the bay in Alberta. And they've been so much help for us. I can't imagine if I didn't have their help. But I can't imagine if they were doing it without anyone else's help. And even just looking at the homework, I'm helping my daughter with her homework, and the way they teach things is so different than how when I was in school doing this 20-something years ago, it's already changed so much. You can imagine someone who's, you know, 70, 60, late 60, 70, 80, trying to help out with homework these days. That's just the start of the problem. So this is a big undertaking, but I could see this probably catching on because it's going to help so many people.
I hope so. That's our goal. And like you said, homework help. I age out about fifth grade in math. I can count money until the day, you know, the day is long. But you know, the goal is to eventually have homework help. I'd love to have, you know, older kids helping younger kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of need service hours too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it, I always had to hire tutors for math, like algebra and geometry. It's not my jam. So
I get to the same result. We just go about it a different right. way these days. And that doesn't count, according to teachers. So this is fantastic. I know bcbe.org, so that's the Baldwin County Board of Education website. If you go bcbe.org/grandfamilies, there's information about this up there. Also, on the Baldwin County Public Schools Facebook page, they've been posting about this and this meeting that's coming up Thursday. So did you see anything else nationally when you started digging into this? Any other groups that saw a similar issue and maybe started something? I'm just wondering how maybe eventually, because you talk about how many statewide grandparents, grandfamilies there are, I think nationwide how many there are. There's a lot of people outside of Baldwin County that eventually could probably put something like this together as well.
There is. There's a commission on grandparents raising grandkids right now in the state of Alabama. It started in 23. They got an extension in 24. The numbers are supposed to come in 25. Representative Shedd is in charge of that. I reached out last night to a lot of them. I had a gentleman already reached back to me, and I wish I could remember his name. It's Keith, and he's, can't remember his last name. It's terrible of me, but he's raising grandchildren. And so he has been really strong in the state of Alabama starting this. He has a grandparents group that he started as well. So he reached out. We're supposed to talk this week. But he went to Nevada on behalf of this commission.
Right.
And met this lady that started a group there. And her goal was kind of the same as what this commission's goal is, but also mine, to give them everything they need. I'd love to not only give them what they need for Baldwin County Public Schools, but beyond. You know, like we were talking about, an attorney, you know, they've got to have a will drawn up. If something happens to them, where does the child go?
Right.
So this lady in Nevada started this group, and she's made a one-stop shop. So they know they can come there and find out everything they need to know. But there is, like I said, federally, they're trying. You know, it's a difficult situation because they don't go through foster care most of the time, go through DHR. So do they know the numbers? No. And that's why this commission was started, to really know the numbers.
Also, there's one other element of this, you could talk to this, is the fact that these grandparents meet each other. Now they've got kind of a, if they wish, a bit support, you know. Support,
community.
Community
support, and they can reach to, you know, may not always have to come back to you. There might be one that is a little, has got the answer as well. Like, oh, don't worry about that. I've got your back on that. They can kind of form their own, not an organized community, but just a support group that can call each other.
Yeah, text group. Yeah, yep. Coffee group that they meet. And, you know, I remember years ago meeting a grandmother raising 6 grandkids. I mean, this was years ago when I first got in the school system. And she always said, I wish I could meet other people like me.
Exactly.
And I should have honed in on it then, you know, but I was in the thick of raising my own kids and, you know, selfishly didn't do it. And so, agreed, community's important. You know, you need to know other people going through exactly what you're going through.
I want to read you a couple of texts before we remind people one more time about the meeting. Summerdale Tony said, my wife and I just finished raising 2 of our granddaughters and getting them out of school. Great job, Summerdale Tony. You're a good man. Alan in Baldwin County said, several years ago, we had a new family show up at church and became regular attendees. An older couple, who I assumed was their very young grandson, he joined our youth group, really blossomed after a while. Come to find out, after they'd been there a while, they were actually his great-grandparents, and they were his best option. I said, that young man will grow up, and I trust be very grateful that they stepped in and are taking care of him in their very much late golden years.
You know, this situation is so unique. It seems to be unusual, but the numbers say it's not unusual. It feels unique, but I've never heard country music, and I've been around this for a million years, never heard a song about grandparents stepping in and raising the kid. No. That'd be bad as down. That'd be like country music. And yet, it's simply something that's not talked about.
It's not. And, you know, as the scope of it, I started looking at it, you know, we were talking about earlier, they forego prescriptions. Some of them live in senior housing. If you take a child in, guess what? You're out of senior housing.
Yep.
So they're not taking care of themselves to be able to take care of these grandkids, because that's what we all do. But great-grandparents and grandparents, that's what they're going to do. They're going to love up on a child and take them in and forego everything they have to take care of them. And so that in itself kind of course, tugged on my heartstrings, and I think that as well made me kind of push to do this. Like I said, Baldwin County Schools can't fix everything, but we can try to fix what we can control and also help them find their way, you know, to get more funding, to get more help. And, you know, I always tell people all people can say is no, but what if they say yes?
Jennifer McCrary, Grateful for Grand Families, meeting coming up Thursday night, 6 to 8 at the Baldwin County Board of Education Central Office Satellite Office in Loxley. Thank you so much. We'll keep pushing this all week, and great
Thanks,
job.
Guys. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, it's nice when you see the need and act on that need and start to get things done. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It is 8:51. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Hey, this segment brought to you by Casa Mobile. This fits with that conversation we were just having with Jennifer McCrary. Casa Mobile stands for, CASA, Court Appointed Special Advocates, CASA. And they do their work in Mobile County. And their mission is to transform the lives of children and youth who get caught up in the child welfare system. It is a local nonprofit. Now, Nick Saban plays a pretty heavy role in CASA. You'll find him on their website talking about his interest in this nonprofit. But their mission is to provide one consistent and caring volunteer who's been trained to advocate for the best interest of each child that's caught up in this system. And right now, Casa Mobile urgently needs more volunteers to reach their goal of serving every abused and neglected child in Mobile County. Like Jennifer was saying there, it falls to the grandparents a lot, but in this case, kids without anyone who need a safe, loving, and permanent home. So volunteer training has begun, but if you're called to that or maybe you want to donate, you can find out more information at casamobile.org, casamobile.org, volunteer or donate today.
If your kid goes off to the big city after college, he may return fat.
Yeah, traffic. You're preaching to the choir here, buddy.
traffic, if you're stuck in traffic, you eat worse, you eat more fast food. So people who live in bigger cities and are in heavy traffic on a daily basis, as it turns out, it's not just the pain in the neck, obviously. It is
in the knees.
Yeah, it's going to eventually get to all your joints because you're eating Whoppers and stuff like that. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's from the Journal of Urban Economics. People in traffic get fatter quicker.
Oh, I thought you just meant going to school and coming back, like a couple years away at college.
Well, that's
freshman 15.
Freshman 15, but now you've graduated and you have this degree. You're moving off to the exciting city, mm-hmm. and more than likely you're going to gain some weight real quick when suddenly you're not in Mobile's traffic, which we tend to think is bad enough, but it's not close to some of the larger cities out there.
I'm thinking with this text that Jeff Poor is letting us know he made it back safely from New Orleans. He has guests coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. State Representative Donna Givens in hour number one. Dale Jackson from WVNN joins Jeff in hour number two.
And Super Bowl MVP. Was he able to make that happen?
Who?
Jalen Hurts is going to join Jeff.
Not today. Maybe you can get him later in the week.
We'll find out where his seats were, too. He was at the Super Bowl yesterday. So
I think he was dancing in that halftime show. I think he was part of that. Also, State Senator Larry Stutz joining Jeff in hour number three.
Okay.
And that was a big part of our conversation earlier was the halftime show, the ads, the halftime the halftime performance, the game as a whole. And I thought it was a weird mix and almost kind of like a marketing civil war in a way. You still had, you know, choose love, choose unity, which is great, great lines. You know, like I know they took the end all racism or whatever it is out of the end zone. But so what was left painted there was it takes all of us. What does it mean? What does that mean? Talk about a platitude that doesn't mean anything.
It means we weren't able to come up with anything after end all racism.
Then don't write anything in the end zone.
I know.
Eagles, Chiefs.
Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, I think some of the ads they had planned for a Kamala America, and I think that halftime show, I mean, he started saying, you chose the right time for a revolution, but the wrong guy. What does that mean, right? And then I do agree with the turn the TV off, Kendrick Lamar thing. Mm-hmm. Too much TV maybe for some of us. But the ads also, and Roy in Spanish Fort said, I think the TP ad was Angel Soft, good timing right before the halftime show. Said, I think the halftime show was trying to pull together a Squid Game, Uncle Sam, United States of America mashup commentary on life today. I don't understand. You know, I guess the national movement is we're sick of the crime.
Right.
All forms of crime.
Yes.
I know there's a major focus on legal immigration, but also stop shooting each other. And then to use that to celebrate gang culture, to have one of the top female athletes of all time, crip walking, using it to call another rapper a pedophile. Listen, I like the drama and battle rap as much as anybody. time and place, though. I didn't like it.
I'm with you. I mean, a lot of stuff flew over my head.
Yeah. You know? Maybe I'm too in the game. Maybe that's what it was. This texter says, I'm not sure. Oh, okay, we already got through that. Let's see. Daniel says, sports are not the unifier it was 10 years ago for all the crap y'all just said happened at halftime. Football doesn't matter anymore. It's too woke. I think football does matter. And I think there was another shift. We saw the Trump shift with the election, and Trump was there last night. There were players shaking Trump's hand. Players showing up with MAGA hats on, players.
Would you have imagined Trump being shown on the big screen?
With a pop. The crowd went
four
wild.
4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when everything was surrounding him, and get this huge ovation. Things have changed.
Let's see. Elizabeth Warren said it was a mistake for the Marine Corps to fly those Ospreys. That she says an aircraft that killed 64 members of our military over the Super Bowl. We should be celebrating the Marine Corps for 250 years of powerfully important service, not adding to the grief of families who lost their loved one. I'm not. Was that a parody Elizabeth Warren account? That seems ridiculous.
No. She's ridiculous enough on her own.
Okay.
It's 8:59. The Jeff Poor Show is next.